Don't be afraid, folks, in this room, if you're in the middle of a storm, do everything you can and then trust him for what you cannot and know that he's saying those words to all of us, it's all right.
Welcome to Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch exists to provide a safe and positive experience for children and families. To learn about the saving hope of Jesus Christ in an authentic Western environment. Storms will come and go in our lives, but Jesus is bigger than the storm. Turn in your Bible to Matthew 14, verse 22, and listen as Troy Meter, Chief Executive Officer and Co-Founder, encourages you to trust Jesus to fill in the gaps that go beyond what you can do.
How many of you in this room has ever been in a storm? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Or if you're not raising your hand, you're so young that you haven't been in one yet. But it's okay. Don't worry. You will. Trust me. You're going to face a storm sooner or later. None of us are exempt from the storms of this life. There's no way to escape them. So lower your shoulders and rest in the fact of this. The storms have a beginning and an end. They don't last forever. And if they last our entire lifetime, when we go be with Jesus, storm's over. So if we're in the storm our entire life, it doesn't matter because someday I'm going to be with him and I'm going to be like, dude, whatever that was, I don't care because I'm with you. Storms have a beginning and an end, but there is a way to endure them. Those of us that have some gray hair, we've endured a few, have we not? In fact, more than we wish. We just feel like things are going well and then all of a sudden the clouds start to gather in the east. And you begin to see that rumble that you're so used to seeing. If you've owned a business, if you've been married, if you have children, if you have teenage children, you've been in the storm. Tom, three of them. Four. You're in the storm, man. But there's a beginning and there's an end, and there's a way to walk through them that's gracious, as Jesus teaches us how. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33 says this. And I'll read quickly. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Bible says 5,000 men. There was probably 15,000 people there. A few fish and a few loaves of bread. You know the story. Kim and I went to Israel this last February, and we looked at the hillside where all these people, they think where they all were, above the Sea of Galilee. It was amazing to see this place where we knew that Jesus taught, and he fed the 5,000. And then we read this. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. In other words, he said, dudes, you guys are tired. Go get in the boat. You guys all go home, okay? Send them home. Afterward, he went up in the hills by himself to pray. I love this about Jesus. He took time to be with the Father. Don't think that you're serving God so much that you can't spend time with him. You got it backwards. Spend more time with him, and then the serving comes out of that. Another side note. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. Fighting heavy waves. When I was a boy, my granddad was a commercial fisherman. I think I got some of his blood because I love to be on the ocean. I'm a water dog, a waterman. I love it. I just got my captain's license to captain 25-ton and bigger boats. I love that stuff. I love being out on the water. And my granddad, I think, imparted that to me. And I can remember as a boy being out 20, 30 miles offshore in his little 17, 18-foot Thunderbird boat fishing for salmon. And I can vividly remember storms starting to gather in the west. And my little Irish grandfather had a cigar always in his mouth, and it was always a big long one like those ones you get at the fair. And he never lit it. He just chewed on it. There were days when he ate the cigar because the storms would gather. And I can remember going down into the trough, and all you'd see is water around you. And then you'd rise up on top, and you could see everything, rain and wind and whatever. And then down the thing you would go. Storms gathering. The Sea of Galilee is an incredible place. It's a lake. They say the Sea of Galilee, it's a lake 8 miles wide by 15 miles long. It's the lowest freshwater body of water on the planet. And around the lake are mountains, all around it. So if you're a weather person, you know that in the afternoons, the wind comes howling down from the mountainsides and can stir that lake up into, they say, waves as high as 20 feet on a lake. Now, I've been on that lake. It's not very big, but to think there's 20-foot waves on that lake, it's incredible. The disciples in the boat were in trouble. I don't know how big the waves were that day, but they were big enough for them to be very concerned and fighting the weather. It's incredible what water can do. And in my book, Average Joe, I wrote a story about fishing with my grandfather. And we would fish out of a place called Trinidad Harbor. It's like by Eureka, below Crescent City. And we would leave this little harbor and we would go out and fish and come back. And I was always so thankful that we could find it. Because back in those days, all you had was a compass and a chart. There were no cell phones. There were no radios. My granddad had this compass that was this ball that kind of did this thing. And he had his little chart. And we would go out and the fog would come in and somehow, some way, he would find the lighthouse. 196 feet above the water was the lighthouse that was Trinidad Head. Now, remember that number because the story I'm going to tell you is almost unbelievable, but it's recorded. It's a recorded fact. 196 feet above the surface of the water was the lighthouse. Built in 1888, in the year 1914, the lighthouse innkeeper records this. At 4:40 p.m., I observed a sea of unusual height. When it struck the bluff, the jar was very heavy. The lens immediately stopped revolving. The sea shot up the face of the bluff and over it, until the solid sea seemed to me to be on a level with where I stood at the top of the lighthouse. The sea itself fell over the top of the bluff and struck the tower about on a level with the balcony. The whole point between the tower and the bluff was buried in water. Wow. Historians record the wave he described was the highest recorded wave ever on the Pacific coast. After the sea struck the lighthouse and extinguished the light, service was restored in 4 hours by lightkeeper F.L. Harrington, the keeper from 1888 to 1916. The sea that we sometimes take for granted, the storms can be overwhelming. It's incredible what the ocean can do. Do you ever feel like in your life that there are storms that are like that? Where you just, how am I going to make this? How am I going to make it through this? How am I going to get through this incredible thing? Storms of the heart, storms of relationship. You know, these storms, you know, we can see them and touch them and feel them. By the way, Kim and I bought a bigger boat this year. Knowing we're going to go out on the ocean more, it's like, we got to get a bigger boat. Remember the movie Jaws? You got to get a bigger boat. But there are storms of the heart that are often, if not always, worse than the physical storm. Storms of relationship, broken relationship, storms of financial issues that we're dealing with. And yes, there's the physical storms. The scripture tells us that the disciples were in trouble. They were fighting the heavy waves. And I love that because they were fighting. Our society, and I'm not pointing a fingers at anybody except for myself, our society is starting to breed a culture that we just fall on our back when things are hard and we blame everybody else. And we don't fight. We don't stand in the storm. We don't take on what's coming at us. Not in arrogance or pride, because we lock our hand in the hand of Jesus and we move forward. As men, there's a picture that I'll never forget that the Lord gave me years ago, and it was this picture of a man, a husband with his chest to the wind and his chin set, beaten, battered by the wind and the storms of life. But he had his hand locked into the king, and he was hanging on to the King of Kings because we can't do it on our own, men. And behind him, tucked behind him in the lee, was his family. I got this. Me and my Jesus have this. My job is to cover you and protect you when the storms come. We got to fight the storms. The disciples fought the storm. They weren't giving up. They were doing everything they could to survive. They didn't languish. They didn't feel sorry for themselves. They didn't fall back in defeat, because the death of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection finished everything. His blood is worthy to walk us through and to cover us in every storm, no matter what. No matter how hard it is, the blood of Jesus can cover that. When sickness reaches us, we struggle. We fight. We take medication, we do whatever the doctor says, we get healthy, whatever we have to do. Often when we're in a financial storm, we engage all the options we can. Maybe we got to get a second or a third job. Kim and I remember starting this ranch, and I had three and she had two plus the ranch. And I'm not saying yay, Troy and Kim, I'm just saying you got to do what you got to do to fight the storm. You can't give up. You can't quit. And then when we've done everything we can do and we cannot do anymore, we trust him for what we can't do. We do everything we can, but then we trust our Jesus for the things that we cannot do. And that's his job. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I don't camp out there. I keep moving through it. My good friends, Eric and Carrie. Carrie was singing with us tonight, and Eric has gone back to be with his brother. His brother's suffering and walking through brain cancer, brain tumors and stuff. Here's this amazing 45-year-old man that loves Jesus with all of his heart. He's in the storm, but he's praising Jesus every day. I'll never forget, Christopher, we were down in Tennessee and we were walking to this restaurant, and we walked into this fancy restaurant to have breakfast. It was a biscuits and gravy restaurant. I thought, praise Jesus, a restaurant just biscuits and gravy, and it was good. And we're waiting in line to go in this restaurant, and this little kid walks up, and he's probably 18, 19 years old, and he's dirty and smelly, and you can tell he was a drug addict. He wanted money. I am so embarrassed to say that I backed away. But God bless Christopher. He walked up and he said, you know, buddy, I don't have any cash. All I have is a Visa card, but can I just give you a hug? And he just hugged this kid, and this kid just fell into the arms of Christopher. And now Christopher has this brain issue, and we just think, God, you've got this somehow, some way. And that family is fighting. They're doing everything they can and then trusting him for what they cannot do. That's what we're supposed to do. The disciples didn't quit. My message tonight is not about the battle. It's not about the storm. It's about him. It's about our God. It's about our Jesus. He's bigger than the storm, always. Todd Freitag, a friend of mine, died this last year of cancer, and 40-year-old, stout guide, bear hunter. He and I hunted bear together, hunted elk together, fished the ocean together, big heavy beard, kids, the whole thing, and the Lord took him home. And we did everything we could think of. We prayed, we fasted, we sang over him, we anointed him with oil, we did all the stuff. And then God said, no, I want him to come home and be with me. It's okay, you'll see him soon. And I remember sensing that when I did his funeral, that it's okay, we'll see him soon. When the storm rages beyond our control, we must remember these words. These are the words I want you to remember, found in verse 27. When the disciples saw him, at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. And I love that part. Jesus doesn't just lord over the storm. He walks on it. He walks on top of the storm. He doesn't just say, you know, whatever. He's on it, man. He's got it. Disciples did the same thing I did. They screamed in terror. What the heck? Thinking he was a ghost. But then Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't forget these words. Probably one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. Jesus spoke these words in the middle of the storm. It's all right. Can you hear his voice? Beautiful carpenter voice. It's all right. I am here. Don't be afraid. In the midst of the storm, it's all right. I am here. Don't be afraid. Folks in this room, if you're in the middle of a storm, do everything you can and then trust him for what you cannot and know that he's saying those words to all of us. It's all right. I am here. Don't be afraid. It's all right. I am still Lord over the storm. In fact, so much so, he tells the storm to be still. Have you read it in the book of Mark? Chapter 4, verse 30. I'm going to read it because it's just such a cool. In the face of the storm, in the enemy's face, the Lord says this. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Kicking back, man. Been a hard day at work. Frantically, they woke him shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown?" And when he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Quiet down. Be still." Can you imagine the authority of God the Father? Can you imagine being in that boat? And it's like that. And he says, "Knock it off. Be still. Dude, get over it. Be still." And it's our vernacular today. He is so much Lord over the storm, he tells it to be still. Remember when you were young, Mom would always, in the darkest of times, remind us all, it's all right. Remember that? We would fall, break our leg or skin our knee or be hurt by a girlfriend or whatever, and she, "Oh, honey, it's okay." My mom still does that. I'm 60 years old, and I'll get sick with something, and she'll call me on the phone, "Honey, do you need some chicken noodle soup?" It's okay. It's all right. Moms do that. It's all right. I am here. God with us, Emmanuel. Matthew 28, 20 says this, "Teach these disciples to obey the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." The Spirit of the living God is living in you and living in me. For the believer, we've said yes to the King of Kings. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you always. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you realize that all of you together, this isn't the church, you are. The Bible says that all of you together are the temple of God, the church of God. You're the church. And then he says this, and that the Spirit of God lives in you. Man, what are you watching on TV? What are you thinking? What kind of storms are you creating in our own mind? We don't get to, let me talk to the men for a minute. Well, Troy, you know, my marriage is kind of in the tanks right now. It's kind of a drag. Well, maybe it's because you spend 10 hours a day at work, which is good, and then you come home and play video games or watch football and never say hello to your kids. Have you ever thought about that? I didn't create the storm, you did. Don't blame God for your storm that your wife's upset at you. Spend some time with her. Cultivate the relationship. Well, you know, Troy, I cheated on my taxes, and now the IRS is after. I remember a good friend of mine that made some banking decisions that were highly illegal, and I said, buddy, you created the storm. God didn't do it. Don't blame him for it. Now, he'll walk you through it.
Excuse me.
He'll walk you through it, but he is here. The Spirit of the living God is within you. For the believer, you're never alone. Finally, it's all right. I am here. Do not be afraid. The rocks we have up front are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When you look at the life of an individual that calls themselves a believer, those are the fruits of that life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When Jesus said, don't be afraid, fear is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not. Peace is. Love, joy, peace. I love that hurricanes have an eye. I think that God created them that way to remind us the storm can be raging all around you, but if you'll just step into the middle with the King of Kings, you'll have peace and to choose peace. That doesn't mean the storm's going to go away. It doesn't mean the bill collectors will stop coming to the door. It doesn't mean it's going to end, but you take dominion over that which you give to him. Gee, he walked on the storm. And then Peter got out of the boat and walked on it with him. Jesus said, come join me. And as soon as Peter got his eyes off of Jesus, what'd he do? He started sinking. How many of us in the middle of the storm, we take our eyes, Lord, you've got this. I trust you. I'm worshiping you. I love what you said, Katie, to worship him in the storm. And then you look around, and, oh, crud, and down we go. And everything starts to stack on us. Lord, it's a storm. Yeah, well, if you just will focus on me, I got this. Again, doesn't mean it's going to go away. But our heart condition changes because our eyes are on him. Because this existence, trust me when I say this, it's going to end, and then we're going to be with him. This is just boot camp. So whatever's going on today, it'll end, and then there'll be another one, and that'll end, and then there'll be another one. It's okay. Focus on him. It's all right. I am here. Don't be afraid. It's difficult while in the storm. I get it. It's difficult not to be afraid. We're human. The Coquille River in south coast of Oregon, enters the Pacific Ocean, and it's called a bar. Where the ocean meets the river, it's called a bar. And the Coquille River is one of the nastiest on the Pacific Northwest coast because it's very shallow and it's very narrow. Rest assured, there have been times, even though I trust my Jesus, when we've gone out and I've been afraid. Little 20-foot boat going, whoa, these are big waves. And Kim and I make a decision to go out or not. That's why we got a bigger boat. We can go on bigger waves. But fear is a natural response to, I need to be careful. Being afraid is not trusting in God. It's different. We should fear the things that might harm us, but we shouldn't fear the things that he has dominion over. Maybe the news from the doctor is not good. A cloud is forming off to the west. The demands of the stack of bills on the kitchen table far outweigh the balance of the checkbook. How many of us have ever been there? Every month, seems like. Running this ministry, it's like, God, you're going to need to show up because next month, I don't know. And you know what? He always does. We're still here. Somehow the enemy has creeped into a relationship that's deteriorating. The wind is starting to blow. The storm is starting. And yet the words of our Savior are as true yesterday as they are today. It's all right. I am here. I'm not going to tell you that the storm you are currently in or the many that you will face in the future will be easy. I'm not going to tell you that there's going to be this great scripture that you read and you're going to go, oh, and relax into the arms of Jesus. Our DNA is Adam bred, and we fear and we walk through those things. But I am going to tell you this. You are not alone. Don't be afraid. He's here. He's got it. I've got this. I've said this before. We become what we behold. To behold the master that not only takes dominion over the storm, but walks on them. That's the guy I want to hang out with. If you're in the storm, doesn't matter what's going on around you. When we choose to worship him in the storm, everything changes. Our heart changes. Tonight, if you're in a storm, tonight, if you're struggling with something, can we just worship him and give him dominion over that which we cannot control, that which we can certainly fight and struggle against and do all that we can, and then trust our Jesus for what we cannot. Amen.
You've been listening to Troy Meter, Chief Executive Officer and Co-Founder of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. We invite you to learn more about the ranch at crystalpeaksyouthranch.org. Check out the videos, listen to more podcasts, learn how to volunteer, or make a tax-deductible donation. crystalpeaksyouthranch.org. I'm Brent Anderson. Join us again as we take you out to Crystal Peaks, the ranch of rescued dreams.